Prologue, Where the White Man Runs Away. It was my first trip to Africa. I arrived in Somalia in the frayed seat of a 1970s Soviet Antonov propeller plane, heading into the internationally unrecognized region of Puntland on a solo quest to meet some present-day pirates. The 737s of Dubai, with their meal services and functioning seatbelts, were a distant memory. The plane I was in was not even allowed to land in Dubai, and the same probably went for the unkempt, ill-tempered Ukrainian pilot. To the ancient Egyptians, Punt had been a land of munificent treasures and bountiful wealth. In present times, it was a land of people who robbed wealth from the rest of the world. Modern Puntland, a self-governing region in northeastern Somalia, may or may not be the successor to the Punt of ancient times, but I was soon to discover that it contained none of the gold and ebony that dazzled the Egyptians, save perhaps for the colors of the sand and the skin of the nomadic goat and camel herders who had inhabited it for centuries. The cabin absorbed the heat of the midday African sun like a Dutch oven, thickening the air until it was unbearable to breathe. Sweat poured freely off my skin and soaked into the torn cloth of my seat cover. Male passengers fanned themselves with the Russian-language aircraft safety cards. The women fanned their children. The high whine of the Antonov's propellers changed pitch as it accelerated along the Djibouti runway, building towards a droning crescendo that I had not heard outside of decades-old movies. The stories I had heard of these planes did nothing to put me at ease. A vodka-soaked technician banging on exposed engine parts with a wrench. A few months prior, a plant-nosed landing at Bosaso airstrip after a front landing strut had refused to extend. Later, in Bosaso, I saw the grounded craft, abandoned where it had crashed, a few lackadaisical guards posted nearby to prevent people from stripping the valuable metal. This flight was like a forgotten relic of the Cold War, a physical testament to long-defunct Somali-Soviet geopolitical ties that had disintegrated with the countries themselves. Its Ukrainian crew, indentured servants condemned forever to ferry passengers along this neglected route. Over the comm system, the Somali steward offered a prayer in triplicate, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, as the plane gained speed. The whine heightened to a mosquito-like buzz and we left the ground behind, setting an eastward course for Somalia, roughly shadowing the Gulf of Aden coastline. As I approached my 35th weary hour of travel, my desire to socialize with fellow passengers had diminished, but on purely self-serving grounds, I forced myself to chat eagerly with anyone throwing a curious glance in my direction. I had never met my Somali host, Mohammed Farole, and any friend I made on the plane was a potential roof over my head if my ride didn't show. Remaining alone at the landing strip was not an option. News travels around Somalia as fast as the ubiquitous cell phone towers are able to transmit it, and a lone white man bumming around the airstrip would be public knowledge sooner than I cared to contemplate. When he learned that I was traveling to Gadowe, Puntland's capital city, the bearded man sitting next to me launched into the unfortunate tale of the last foreigner he knew to make a similar voyage. A few months previous, a Korean man claiming to be a Muslim had turned up in the capital, alone and unannounced. Not speaking a word of Somali, he nonetheless succeeded in finding a residence and beginning a life in his unusual choice of adoptive homeland. He lasted almost 2 weeks. On his 12th day in Puntland, a group of rifle-toting gunmen accosted the man in broad daylight as he strolled unarmed through the streets. Rather than let himself be taken hostage, the Korean made a fight of it, managing to struggle free and run. He made it several meters before one of his bemused would-be captors casually shot him in the leg. The shot set off a hue and cry, and in the ensuing clamor, the gunmen dispersed and someone helped the man reach a medical clinic. I later learned from another source that he was a fugitive, on the run from the Korean authorities. His thought process, I could only assume, was that Somalia was the last place on earth that his government would look for him. He was probably right. Just a few months earlier, I had been a recent university graduate, killing the days writing tedious reports for a market research firm in Chicago and trying to break into journalism with the occasional cold pitch to an unresponsive editor. I had no interest in journalism school, which I thought of as a waste of 2 of the best years of my life, years that I should spend in the fray, learning how